Nah. Our mics aren't muted. You're in the right spot. It's Thursday night. Touchdowns and Tangents. I'm PD Camarillo.
I'm Kenneth Berry.
We've been gone for a couple weeks, Kenny. How you feeling?
Pretty good. Tailgate went great. USC won.
They got UCLA got the dog shit smacked out of them.
Just kicked and stomped out. I mean, they came back because USC's defense is whatever, but honestly,
I'm getting PTSD from that tailgate because much like then, you're babysitting.
Yeah. Wow. That was rude. Fine. Let's do this. Shout out to my little sister. Today's her 22nd birthday.
Shout out to Chelsea Berry.
Chelsea Jones.
Oh yeah. I'm sorry, forgot.
Damn, bro.
Chelsea Jones. Shout out to Chelsea Jones.
Just say AKA Chelsea. They gotta say Jones.
The king of Kenny's clapbacks. You old peach head.
No, we're not. No. I'll unplug this shit and go home right now. No, I will return everything I bought her for her birthday. But anyway, yeah, it's been a pretty great week. Celebrated with my sister all day today. We saw Queen and Slim, and me and my mom talk shit pretty much throughout, like, most of that movie because I have some notes, but wow, just, wow. Certain decisions made in like, a script kind of just pissed me off. But whatever.
So, might as well get to the notes.
Let's just get to the nitty-gritty.
What were your problems with the movie?
Well, for starters,
do what I want.
Pretty much. Words I live by. But what I saw, like, the opening scene was cool. And it's funny that it's like, honestly, I was like, huh, this movie's pretty much damn near sponsored by Tinder. Because that's how they came together. But aside from that, I sit back and I think about
We got to check on the toilet because somebody blew it up.
It wasn't me this time, bro.
Shout out to the good news. Shout out to the good news.
Mark Gunnels, there. He said
it. Shout out to the good news. Shout out to FBC Radio. Shout out to X Squad Affiliates. Shout out to everybody else who listens to us. Shout out to your favorite podcast platform where you can find this podcast. But yeah, sorry. Get back to your notes.
Yeah. Anyway, so, oh man. Just, I don't want to give away the movie, but there's certain things in the movie that happen that make no sense. It would never happen in the real world or any other, like, Bonnie and Clyde.
That's why it's a movie.
No, the shit was like, it was so, like, over the top and extra. I was like, y'all gotta be fucking kidding me. Y'all aren't serious. Like, one scene was like the dude hands, like, he's trying to rob a gas station to get gas, and he hands the dude who he's, like, trying to rob for gas, he hands him the gun. Who does that?
But he wasn't really trying to rob him. He didn't really want to rob him. That's the whole point of the movie.
It was like a half-ass robbing.
That's the whole point of the movie, though. That's the whole point of the movie, is that wasn't their character, but they just were...
Everybody just typecast them as something else.
Yeah, exactly. They were trying to be something that they weren't.
They just wanted to go home. Exactly.
And exactly.
I was just like, that shit was whack. And then the whole horseback riding thing, I'm like, fam, if I'm running from the police, I'm not just gonna go down a straight
again
field.
Though, that's like an important part of his character development, because that's the first time where the two actually share like an intimate moment and actually share something about their past and create a common ground that develops into their relationship.
You copping heavy please for this movie, and I feel
no,
like there's
because
some,
I actually got it. I actually
I got
sat
it too
there
when I saw
and
it.
Watched it.
My
I wasn't on my phone, bro.
Very high.
I wasn't on my phone.
Man, you know how much extra shit I do on my phone and I can still pay attention?
No, because you late.
Late as serve. Hey, hi. We were trying to, like, not acknowledge.
Yeah, you already missed the birthday bitch intro we have for you and everything. Yeah, we was wrong. We was rolling. We was rolling for you.
And you didn't bring any water again.
No.
Right. No water. Brought no water yet again. Didn't bring any water to the tailgate.
Are you gonna play the birthday theme?
No, you late.
It doesn't matter. You guys know I'm always late.
We're in a heated conversation right now.
Well, I'm breaking it up.
You seen Queen and Slim? Have you seen Queen and Slim?
No, and you two and on my phone. I was like, why am I getting so many messages right now?
That was all Kenny. I don't even know why he was in the group chat.
I was live tweeting a movie pretty much.
Yeah, that shit was the stupidest shit ever.
And I was like, fam, who does this?
I hate people who are on their phone in their movie. That's like the most disrespectful shit to the artist, to all the thousands of people.
What is it, a screenplay?
It is. A movie's a production of like thousands of people, and the fact that you took the liberty of like, oh, this movie sucks 10 minutes in, I'm going to text all the way through it so that it sucks. So that it sucks.
The fat kid
you just created a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, yeah, it sucks because you didn't even ingratiate yourself into the experience.
Okay,
you fucked up the experience. That was your own fault.
Me and my mom were talking shit the whole time. It was funny. I was mad though when I saw the little fat kid in the beginning. I was like, damn, that kind of looked like me. But I didn't try skateboarding as a kid. I was mad as shit. I was like, thank God that fat dude doesn't look like my real father. But I was like, but... It was some funny comic relief moments in this movie. Like, I was trying to take it serious, some parts, like, more seriously than others. But based off, like, how they kind of played out some things, I was like, all right.
I mean, I'll be honest,
some
I didn't like it.
There's some messages that pissed me off that were true.
I'll be honest, like, I didn't really like it as much as I thought I would. But I understood it. I got what they were going for. I didn't hate it. I was entertained.
Leanne Waithe did some shit that makes me mad when I watched The Shy. That's what really, I wasn't mad at this movie. I was mad at The Shy.
I almost cried at the end, bitch. But then I started laughing when her uncle was in the Sean John coat.
I was like,
literally had a tear, but then when he went by Sean John fur coat, I just started rolling.
I was like,
and my girl just looked at me like, what's wrong with you?
it's Last Train to Paris all over again.
What is this? Who wears Sean John fur coats in 2010?
Shout out to, I think his name is Rakeem Hope. I forget his name, but that black dude is in like every famous black movie ever.
But yeah, sir, so we've been gone for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
how do you feel?
For a long time. I mean, I was on the ladies' night, so that was pretty cool. Check that out, by the way.
And what do you think of the ladies' night experience?
They were amazing. First of all, okay. I had to tell Jackie, I was like, Jackie told me, and she was like, I'm going to tag you on our group page, our group text from now on, because they don't tell you nothing. And we're supposed to be doing a giveaway. For the homeless.
Wait, you said we don't do nothing?
No.
I mean, it's splashed out over there.
They're doing it. All the good news people. Sorry, guys, I'm high.
I mean,
all the good news people are doing it. They're going out and doing like donations for like socks and stuff and giving it to the homeless. Why can't we do that?
They've been doing that for
a while.
Are
you going to do it?
I'll do it.
Are you going to spearhead it? Are you going to post? Are you going to manage it? Are you going to collect the stuff? Are you going to show up on time?
You going to show up?
Yeah, I'll show up on ladies' night on time.
Oh, but you didn't show up here on time. Yeah.
You guys, I'm on BP time. Black people time.
No, it's CP time. It's color people time.
Or black people time.
No, because I'll be early for a lot of stuff.
I like BP time better than
CP time.
I'll
be early for work. Eh, nah. I don't really work.
I mean, CP is inclusive, but I like
I think
CP.
You just don't want to admit that you live like in a blood infested area, so you can't say CP. That's okay. You don't want to be affiliated with the 60s. That's all you have to say.
Whatever.
No. We're not the ones who didn't put you in the group chat, so you're barking up the wrong tree.
But yeah. I'm saying is you guys leave me out of stuff.
No, we don't.
I get it like last minute. I get everything last minute. They tell me everything like super last minute.
Nah, we tell you when you need to know.
See? Super last minute. It could be last minute.
Nah,
it can maybe be
we didn't tell you last minute
weeks.
Not to show up with no water.
You know what?
And late. An hour late.
And we're having a meeting on Monday.
Cool. There, see, we told you.
Okay.
There, we told you. And we just established this like 20 minutes ago.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for notifying me, guys. Thank
you
for making me feel included.
You're always included. You're literally the only other person who has a chair on this podcast.
We don't just give people spots on this show.
I wasn't expecting Touchdown and Therapy this week, but I guess that's what happened when we haven't seen each other in over a week.
Yeah.
Had a moment there.
So,
anyway, that movie was... I would never go see it again.
I would. It was pretty good. It was pretty powerful.
Cinematography
was good. The music was great.
That's what I'm saying.
Everything was great about it.
The only thing I had a problem with was the storyline and the plot and the characters and how, like, some of the character dynamics. Like, he goes from eating like a fucking pig in the beginning of the movie and being all civilized. And I'm just like, he came from a two-parent household. She's the one who came from a broken family. Like, why are we, like, doing this?
Doing what?
Like, doing the whole narrative, like, the when it's, like, a black male and a black female lead, like, the black male's, like, some dumbass, airhead, animalistic brute who just becomes civilized later throughout the movie. That's a character dynamic that exists. And you shaking your head, that's because you haven't done the research. I have.
Wait, what are you saying?
Okay. I'll give you an example.
No. What are you saying? Say what you just said again. Don't go into more metaphors. Just say what you mean.
In a lot of movies, a black male who, if they are the lead, have some type of animalistic nature about them. Like, he was eating like a fucking pig in the beginning of the movie. And then all of a sudden, because she said something, he eventually civilized himself throughout the whole movie. And I'm like, this dude came from a two-parent household. He's not some bum on the street. Like, even from the first scene, she was talking to him.
What does a two-parent household have to do with manners? I know plenty of people who come from two-people households who eat like shit, who chew with their mouth open. I don't come from a two-parent home.
You eat like shit. You eat like shit.
Yeah, I do eat like shit.
But you had two parents.
No. I didn't come from a two-parent household.
But you had two parents. That's what I'm saying.
I had eight parents.
Did you say you have eight parents?
Are you just trying to say, like, the narrative of the black man in the movies always seems to be, like,
a lead, there's always something wrong with him.
Well, isn't...
There was nothing wrong with him.
But isn't that always for any type of movie or anything? There's always a character flaw. It doesn't matter what type of story you have. The character is always going to have some flaw or some conflict they're going to have to deal with.
But this type of movie was heightened because of the context around his individual character.
But I think that was a purpose.
It was.
I feel like The Shy, and I look at certain characters and I'm like, okay, he's this way because of this. He's this way because of that. Oh, this dude just happens
but
to
you're,
do stuff.
The Shy is a series. You're comparing a series to
but
a movie.
But it's the same person wrote it. Like,
but it's different.
I'm saying her style of character is totally different, though. But also, just in movies where black dudes are the lead.
Are you saying because she's a lesbian, too? Because
I don't care about that shit.
And then she probably
Why does it have to be perfect? You're not perfect.
But I'm saying when I saw that character and I was like, oh, this is who Daniel Kaluuya is going to be in this movie. All right, I've seen this. I see how this goes.
You're saying it's always repetitive. It's the same thing. You thought she was going to switch it up.
Yeah, I thought she was going to switch it up. Because, I mean, it was Nuat's characters in this. And the people who you thought were going to be villains were necessarily almost the good guys. Like, I'm not saying they went out of the way to make white people not villains in this movie, but there was really only, like, one bad white dude. And if you count the cops. But still, like, the way it was set up, it was interesting. There was some, like... The only thing I really disagree with is, like,
there wasn't even
how
a lot of white
probably
people
wrote
in the movie.
Some characters. That's my point. That's what I just said. Like, there's a way, like, there's some characters I probably would have wrote differently. They're ending differently. Like, but pretty much the ending of the movie grounded it in reality. Because I feel like they went from point A to point B and everything in between was like,
but that's why it's a movie. It's a movie and not a scene.
Well, yeah.
That's development.
Yeah, I just disagree with. I wish it was a little bit different. I wish they would have switched. They would have just slightly tweaked his character arc. Because can we be honest? He was like a bitch the whole movie.
Yeah, that was
like
his character. That was the whole point of
the
movie.
Whole movie
that was the whole point of the fucking movie was that he was a beta male.
And she was kind of an ice princess.
But maybe the movie was supposed to make you pissed off and feel this way.
But I feel like, yeah, it's...
Yeah,
to an
that's
extent,
a good point. That's a good point.
Especially the thing at the end, but I was just like, my mom, she wanted to get out of the theater as soon as that shit happened with the when they got to the strip part. You saw it, Pete.
Yeah.
I was like, I saw that coming 30 minutes ago. I was like, watch.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did. I knew they weren't. I knew they weren't going to make it. I knew in that instance, that wasn't going to work out. I was like, wait, that? See, I don't want to give out spoilers, but it's like.
Let's talk about sports now.
Nah, bro. Certain movies, I'm like, yeah, I see how this is
going. But thank you guys for the Jameson. I'm going to drink it, like, probably today.
Thank you, Pete, for the Jameson.
Oh, thank you, Pete.
Got that.
But I know it was probably a collective thought, maybe.
Nah, I really wasn't this time. Normally it is this time.
Did you eat my chocolate?
If I get my 450,
did you eat my chocolate football?
If I get my 450,
no,
then
now it's your chocolate football.
Get the fuck out of here.
It's mine.
Yeah, now we're trying to force it down my throat. Now it can't be mine.
You shunned me in front of my mom. My mom was like, why did she take the football? Like, I was trying to be nice to her.
No, like, guys, literally, we were so drunk that day, we ended up getting four locos and. Smoking and we walked from all the way from Jefferson to Slauson because we didn't want to pay for Uber. We were Jesus so Christ. Cheap, so we were like just drunk.
What is wrong
we were
with
just
you?
Drunk as fuck having an adventure. So there was, I would have been, that chocolate would have melted by then. It would have been like under my arm, cracked out.
You could have ate it. I mean, on the way, but yeah, it's
you probably
could have traded it for a ride home. Though,
you could have bartered that chocolate.
No, that's you how you get snatched.
You could have at least got a ride on a golf cart. Like,
come on. I'm saying
it was fun that day, though.
It was indeed. It was, and even the conversations after when we went off the air.
All right, so on that note, let's get to the topic of the week.
But yeah,
what is like, it, Kenny?
Yeah, I just want to repeat again, it wasn't a bad film. Because the cinematography, like, that's, I'm getting that soundtrack. I'm sorry, but that soundtrack was fucking amazing. But anyway,
Lamar Jackson.
Leading the league in touchdown passes. 25 to Lamar Jackson, that's the tweet. So, he killed off the vaunted San Francisco 49ers defense. I started Patrick Mahomes in fantasy over him, and I regret it because I lost.
I am the greatest.
I'm just mad. I'm just really mad about that. But anyway, Lamar Jackson had 16 carries, 101 yards rushing, one touchdown, threw for 100 yards against the Niners defense, but no one really passes well against the Niners defense. And secured the victory for the Baltimore Ravens. And RG3, after the game, pretty much put his hand right in Kyle Shanahan's chest and then shook it. And that, I thought, was like top five pettiest moments. Like, that was one of the greatest full circle vengeance. Not even vengeance, just full circle moments ever.
Man, so I was watching that game. Well, I wasn't watching that game, but I came across that game live. And that fumble,
Justin Tucker.
That goat. Fumble, his first fumble of the year, which was caused by Richard Sherman. Like, it's amazing to me that, like, that is his first fumble because, like, honestly, he shouldn't have even fumbled there. Like,
his first lost fumble.
Yeah, he shouldn't have fumbled there because the thing was, like, he was running and his receiver was blocking, but he cut inside. Where all the pursuit was coming. If he would have cut outside, nobody was going to get him. One, he might have gotten pushed out of bounds, but the ball was in his left hand. So if he cuts outside, the ball is protected by the sideline and on the outside. But because he cut inside, Sherman was able to put his hand on the ball right there, knock it out, and it was already raining. So it was like honestly, like that was a big play, but... That could have easily not have been a big play. And when he came off the sideline, he owned it and was like, that's on me. Like, and all his teammates were like, it doesn't matter. We ride with you either way.
And then you have, by the way, you can't spell legend without leg. And, you know, Justin Tucker, statistically the greatest kicker of all time.
But the other issue that came from that game was Tim Ryan during the broadcast essentially said Lamar Jackson
verbatim said pretty much
Lamar Jackson is able to to
have such good run fakes and disguise the ball
because of his skin color. Because
it's the color.
Because it matches the ball, which is dumb as fuck.
And yet he didn't get fired for it.
He caught a suspension, but ultimately,
racist white people don't get fired; they get transferred. Fact of life. Don Imus is still in radio.
But yeah, it sucks that after all the black quarterbacks we've had like for so long that we're still having to fight so much of this stereotypes and for what it's worth,
just, you know, racist ass rhetoric.
For what it's worth, a lot of people who have worked with him have said that he's not racist, but what he said was racist for sure.
Okay.
So
we're gonna do this again.
What do you mean?
Like that, oh, he's not racist. He probably has a black friend. He said was racist, but he's not racist. You felt real comfortable enough to say something that racist on airwaves, which lends to tell me you've probably said something either just as racist or more racist behind the scenes when no other black people were around.
Well, like, there's definitely...
As a black person, like, I'm offended.
There's definitely, like, yes, he's definitely had those thoughts and has probably said it, like you said, but... For what it's worth, people who've worked with him who are black have said that he's helped them and he's not racist. So,
okay,
it is what it is.
That makes it okay. It's cool. I'm just saying.
Like, I'm not saying it makes it okay. I'm just saying, giving you context.
I remember when Rob Parker said like that RG3 wasn't really a brother, and he got fired for it.
Well,
all he said was he's not black enough.
But that's different.
But all
you're talking about Disney versus the 49ers, like.
No, but I get what you're saying, but I'm just
It's different, and it's also, like...
But a black dude said that. Like, imagine if a white dude said that. On ESPN. Other than, like, Jay Moriarty, that's the last dude, the big person. And then, what's his face? Adam James's father, but everybody hated Craig James. Like, I can't think of a white dude saying something that racist. Like, that but made that's it what to I'm TV and airwaves... Regardless of what company he worked for.
But what I'm telling you,
is
the context of it. Like I said, it's the 49ers versus Disney. So it's a much smaller platform, one.
But it's still
two,
racist.
It's a much different kind of brand. And three, the... All right, the toilet's out of commission. Update, breaking news. The toilet is still not...
Oh, that's under commission.
Gunnel's broken. Gunnel's broken.
The toilet is still broken.
Thank you, Mark Gunnel.
Live from the Good News Wire.
Somebody clogged the toilet.
The toilet is not good.
Mark Gunnel's broke the toilet. It is not good. It is not a good news weekend. But yeah, like that, he doesn't get fired for saying that is wrong.
And the second thing is, like I said, people have come to his aid and spoke to his reputation. So for what it's worth, it is what it is.
So does he get a pass now? Like, if he says something like that again, what's going to happen?
He definitely should get fired. 100% should get fired.
I think you should be fired for saying that. Like, you don't get... First off, if you just take out Lamar Jackson and say, like, oh, what's his face?
Okay, but you say problematic shit on the airwaves all the time. And this man has been working in radio for 25 years, and he says something stupid.
He should know better.
Racist? Yeah, exactly. He should know better.
Like, holy shit.
He should know better. But at the same time, like, it's 25. People are speaking to his 25 years of radio. So, who are we? Who are we to say otherwise? That's all I'm saying. Is who are we to say otherwise?
I just know if roles were reversed, his black ass would have got fired. Because I've seen it too many times in media where a black dude says something on air that maybe pissed off his bosses. Boop, got
Stephen
demoted.
Stephen A. says shit all the time.
He got demoted. No, remember when he had his own show when he started?
Jason Whitlock says shit all the time. He hasn't got fired.
Who?
Jason Whitlock.
Do I need to like remind you that Jason
Nick
Whitlock?
Nick Wright. There's plenty of people who say dumbass, inflammatory, problematic shit
that's
on the airwaves.
Pretty
like,
blatant. I,
for sure, I'm not defending it. What he said was definitely racist.
You kind of are when
no,
you
I'm
just,
not. I'm like, not. I'm telling you the full story and the full context and the perspective of what's going on.
I heard it. I read the story. I heard all the. I heard everybody's speak on his behalf, but it's like, bro, maybe you shouldn't really be on games the rest of the year. You can work, like, you can be in there. Maybe you should just take some time off. I would have given him more than a week, is what I'm really saying. For something,
but
an offense like that.
But what does that do?
Like, you can right? come back. You can that, come back in the, during the playoffs.
That's the whole take a teacher and push them through the another part in the district type of shit. Take the priest and move him in the archdiocese. Like, at the end of the day, he said what he said.
I gotta take a shot.
You just said he can't take it back. So running from it, hiding him is not what's good. Put him on the airwaves. Let the viewership take the hit. If people are really outraged, spam the fuck out of him. Tweet him. Like, the universe has a way of working itself out,
I guess.
So
I just, you know what? I'm not going to take out all my rage on this one dude.
Being the judge and the jury. Exactly.
Is
Kenny making a breakthrough right now? All the fucking airwaves?
I prefer to be the executioner. I prefer to be executioner because I know we don't live in a fair world.
Breakthrough, right here, new you.
I guess you can call it that, but I just personally would be. I think somebody just needs to smack the shit out of him. That's what I really would. Like, don't even fire him. Just, like, lock him in a room with, like, a couple of black inmates. And just have them say that shit. I just want people who say shit like that, racist shit like that, to say it to the right black person so you can get your ass knocked out.
They do that purposefully, though, because they know that certain black people. Like, I remember ranting about that. Like, why don't the Ku Klux Klan rally in the hood? Like, why don't you go to a black... Why don't you go to the places that you don't like and rally? Why do you rally at places that you feel safe?
Because then that's not a rally. It's a.
So he felt safe enough to say some really racist shit on the air.
It's an act of enticing violence.
So he felt. So what you're saying is he felt safe enough to say some racist shit on the air, and knew he'd be protected by his black coworkers. Because that's what the narrative looks like.
But no, still, that's a reach.
I mean, how is it not? He said it. And it came smooth off his lips.
But he didn't say it with the intent of like, oh, I'm going to get a pass.
You can't defend his intent, which is what you're doing right now. You can only judge the malicious act. But
you also can't judge his intent either. Like,
but I'm saying
you can't say his intent was malicious when you don't know him. You don't know
him. My roommate, he's a Niners fan. We were talking about that. He was like, I mean, it's fucked up you said that, but he's not lying, which is like low-key like...
Never mind. Holy shit, sir. Wow.
Y'all fucked up.
But he's black. No, the jersey is actually black.
Happened,
but
okay?
He's black.
The jersey's actually the color black. He is a dark brown, okay?
He is like my complexion. Slightly
darker than you and ashier than you, which is amazing.
Wow, that was racist. He's ashy. You see ash on his knuckles, bro?
I've seen ash on his shins.
I've seen ash on you.
I've seen ash on his shins.
That's paint from like some. From honestly, that's paint probably from him sliding. By the way, you would think all these quarterbacks, like Josh Allen, since we're on just athletic quarterbacks who can throw. I'm going to give us not a retraction, but I'm going to say, you know what? I was hard on Josh Allen for the Buffalo Bills. And I honestly thought he sucks. But somehow they've built a system around him, kind of like they built a system around Cam Newton in his prime with what they're doing in Buffalo.
Kind of like they built a system around Tyrod Taylor till they threw him away.
No, Tyrod Taylor was actually running a system and was... Bro, he was getting yards whenever he wanted to. His mentality is not if Tyrod Taylor had Lamar Jackson's
running
mentality.
Tyrod Taylor was definitely a system QB
with excellent athleticism.
Good.
He ran 4.4, bro.
Good. That's
and
not
he has
excellent.
A rocket for an arm.
That's not excellent. That's
good. You run 4.4?
No, that's good. But I'm not in the scale.
Hold on, wait.
I'm not in the scale.
I get that all these athletes and all these quarterbacks are like
excellent is 4.3. That's excellent.
Oh, you're okay. That's not fair. 4.4 is excellent for a quarterback.
4.4 is very good.
Hell's receivers who can't run 4.4.
A minus.
It's running back. By the way, shout out to Frank Gore, who's third all time rushing leader in NFL history. We gonna get back to that, Pete. Don't think I forgot. I didn't forget about you and Frank Gore. You passed Barry Sanders. I think you passed Barry Sanders, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, Buffalo, Josh Allen damn near threw for like 90% of his passes against the Cowgirls last week. And he's looking like he'll have a future in this league. And I just wish he was given the same credence that Lamar Jackson got. But every week, it's a story about how guys like Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, aren't given the same leeway, benefit of the doubt, of a guy like Josh Allen. And Mitch Trubisky still having excuses made for him, which I just find fascinating. So, to close up this story real quick.
I mean, he smacked the shit out of Dak this week.
That don't count. That both does those count. Teams suck. No, it doesn't.
That does count.
That doesn't that count. That does count, bro. The Cowboys have a stupid
literally
amount of
three,
talent.
Literally 3 weeks ago, Dak was an MVP candidate.
And his
and you,
team is failing around
you,
him. His team is failing
you,
around him.
You.
Is this team? Yeah.
You. Literally, me, the yes. last time we
Kenneth
sat
Frank
in this
Jamesbury,
chair. The last time we sat in this chair, you were talking about how you and a lot of other people were talking about how the Cowboys are better running the system through Dak pass first. But as Dak
Whoa,
does.
Whoa. No.
As
go
Dak,
that far.
As
Dak, not go that far.
Hold on. As Dak does every single year. He gives you 3 to 4 games of very good football, and then when it comes down to it, he gets adjusted to, and then lo and behold, the Cowboys start losing, and what do? Fall back on Zeke.
No. I didn't go that far.
Yes, you did.
I went that.
Yes, you did.
I went that.
You literally said the Cowboys are looking way better with Dak as a pass off first
they
offense.
They cannot progress without Dak, because you
that's
can already
what you, said.
You can game
that's not
plan.
What you, said.
Is it, you can game plan against Ezekiel.
That's
Elliott.
Not what you said, though. That's not what you said. You said they were better as a pass first offense,
and then deferring to Ezekiel Elliott because.
All right, man.
If you're only going to give the ball to Ezekiel Elliott, you're not going to win because they're going to stack the box against you. Dak has to win.
That's
games.
Not what you said, but okay.
That's what I said. We can go back and check our archives.
We can.
Our archives
you
don't
really
lie.
Didn't say that.
Bottom line is, one, that defense has been porous. Two, Jason Garrett is a... Is
our defense just created like 3 turnovers tonight, so it's not the defense.
Okay, so what about the Buffalo game? The Thanksgiving game?
Like they got the dogs.
They
I,
made
it's the same
Josh
team.
Allen look really good.
It's the same thing.
From a passing standpoint, Cole Beasley ate their secondary up, bro. Shout out to Cole Beasley. I can't like talk shit about him because he ate up his former
team.
Balling. He ate up his former team. And
you like Cole Beasley.
I want to like Cole Beasley.
You do want to like Cole Beasley.
But I can't co-sign his rap album like super quick. Like
You already did.
I co-signed his rapping ability.
You said you said he was better than a lot of black NBA rappers.
He's definitely better than a lot of black NBA rappers. I gotta put some respect on Cole Beasley's name. But I just don't like hyping up slot receivers.
All right, man. Another story of the week. Ron Rivera gets a firing.
I forgot to queue up.
The only Hispanic coach.
I forgot to queue up Boyz II Men End of the Road. Damn. I wish I would have queued that up. 9 years.
No, wrong one.
Yeah, that was definitely the wrong one.
You play to win the game.
Fortunately, Ron Rivera didn't do that enough this year.
I mean, I would have given him a pass because he had mad injuries.
Here's why I don't give Ron Rivera a pass.
Stupid injuries.
Here's
bro.
Why I don't give Ron Rivera a pass. I think it's clear that the Panthers are headed towards a soft rebuild around Christian McCaffrey. And they just got new ownership a couple years ago. Like, they're going to go through a whole... They're probably going to move away from Cam. Like, it's going to be a whole new thing there. So I understand wanting to have a new figurehead there. In addition to that, if you remember correctly, that Super Bowl season, Ron Rivera almost got fired.
Yeah, he really did.
And then they started winning. I think they went on like a 6-game winning streak, and then he couldn't get fired. So the point is, the writing was already on the wall. It is what it is. Luke Kuechly's on his way out. Too many
That's
concussions.
Disrespectful. I need you to be more respectful of Luke Kuechly, okay?
I mean, I feel like that's why they moved to the 3-4 defense, because if he was still the sideline to sideline guy, you would need to have another inside linebacker next to him.
He's just had a ton of concussions.
But it's also because their D really line is not the same.
They have two good linebackers in Shaq Thompson and
if they were going to move to the 3-4, they should have kept Thomas Davis.
They really should have, but they messed that up. But you got to look at it. Shaq Thomas is an edge rusher. So you're going to have three linebackers and one edge rusher, like in Brian Burns.
They've done it before.
But I don't think it would have. Like, you have Jared McCoy. You have, what's old boy's name?
Vernon Butler?
No, Addison? The other guy. Addison's good. I'm forgetting their D-tackle, who's really good.
Kawan Short, he was hurt.
There we go. He was hurt. But, like, you have that talent on your defensive line. It's like, okay, well, we'll let our linebackers make plays. But, really, their secondary has been a strength on that team, but the run defense is poor.
But that's what I'm saying is
the run defense is bad.
In addition to that, in addition to
Shaq
all
Thompson
that,
got ran over.
In addition to all that change that's going on, you're a defensive coach. You changed the defense. The defense took several steps back. Like, you have to be held accountable for that. Like, it is what it is. Ron Rivera is going to get another coaching job, whether it's in college.
How do you know?
Or whether
that?
It's in pro, he's going to get another gig. At the very least, he's going to be a defensive coordinator.
He deserves another head coaching job.
He probably does.
But will he get it?
He probably will. I think he will.
But you got like Cliff Kingsbury out here just coaching an NFL team with no real history of winning. Cliff Kingsbury. What's Arizona? Don't Arizona have like two ties this year?
No, they have one. Which he's doing better than I thought he would do, for the record.
I mean...
But it's still early. It's only the
first
season.
But how high
that Cardinals team is bad. That Cardinals team is bad.
But how high were
that
your expectations?
That Cardinals team is bad.
Were you four wins high?
I honestly thought they were going to be as bad as last year, and they're not. And so that's at least credit to him, because Steve Wilks was an experienced coordinator and coach from the Carolina coaching tree, and he flopped out miserably, and he's flopping out now as defensive coordinator.
They really didn't give him a chance.
He didn't get a chance, but he also didn't do anything to deserve a chance.
It's
Josh Rosen was a total bust. Is a total bust. Unfortunately.
I don't really think Josh Rosen was a bust. I think
he never got a fair shot either. But
he never got a fair shot.
Really can't credit for Josh Rosen either.
I'm
first
pounding
time in
the
his
table.
Life, he got a small straw.
And why do I feel bad?
Because he's a decent dude. Like, he's smart.
I wish he never went to UCLA.
He has talent. He probably should have never went to UCLA because him being hurt all the time certainly didn't help
Jim
him.
Jim Moore didn't protect him. He did not put an offensive line that was protecting him at all.
And I think it's more of just having the receivers get open.
No, bro. Who was the best receiver on UCLA's team?
I mean, he had Cole Miller.
Who didn't really start till his junior year, and he was rocky. And he sucked. Arguably, he sucked his junior year when he came out. He was not that good. His tape was eh. He just had outstanding athleticism, so it made everybody forget.
Was Ron Rivera a Cowboy? No, he was a Bears defensive coordinator.
Yeah, 4'6". He comes to that 4'6" tree. And you really think about it. Like, firing him is the end of him and Cam in Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry,
sure.
Keith. It's over. Damn. See, sir, that's when you should have just played Boys to Men End of the Road on your phone and put it up to the mic.
What?
But you didn't even try to do that. Unbelievable. Didn't bring water. Didn't bring ad libs.
I think he could
just
go to the.
Today.
He could honestly go to the. Who has a vacancy right now? The Redskins.
The Deadskins. But even then, they find a way.
Who else? Atlanta.
I'm on an article on FanSided, and they said the five possible teams he can possibly go to. They say number five is Jacksonville Jaguars. Fuck.
That's more of the same.
Cleveland
though.
Browns.
That's more of the same. That might be good. But they have to fix that offense. Baker Mayfield mostly. Mike McCarthy would probably
Dallas Cowboys.
Jason Garrett, he's gonna stay there forever. I had to say this, and this is probably really offensive.
Atlanta Falcons.
No, it definitely is really offensive what I'm about to say.
And New York Giants.
So maybe not say it?
But I want to. Fine, I won't say it.
You're gonna say
what was the last one?
New York Giants.
Yeah, because Pat Shermer should. Well, I forget who the head coach was before Pat Shermer. I'm totally spacing out on his name, but he won more games in less time than Shermer did. He got fired. And Shermer is pretty bad with this Giants team right now.
Yeah, so the Falcons, Cowboys, Giants,
Jaguars. I think he would have to go to Cleveland. Browns. He could go to Cleveland. But, like, because they really just need to fine-tune their defense and they could be great. But he also needs to get some control of that offense. And, like, Freddie Kitchens is not the guy.
The other story of the week. So, somebody did get signed from Kaepernick's workout. But it wasn't Kaepernick.
Damn, you shouldn't have laughed. That was petty.
Who was it?
Let me pull it. It was... He went to Cal. Something Vici?
Jordan Vici, receiver. Mm-hmm. He was one of the Cavs teammates who worked out with them.
He was pretty much like, I'm from Georgia. I was already working out there. I might as well work out in front of scouts. Pretty much what he said in the story that they interviewed him for. So it's good that, you know, he had a chance. And the Deadskins are pretty much banged up at receiver. Terry McLaughlin is their best receiver, and the O-line is not very good. And Haskins, because he was another dude who might be doomed to fail and might end up becoming a bust because the head coach didn't want him and they put no infrastructure in place to actually help him get better. And Dwayne Haskins, who I think will be really good, and they need to build around him. I think, who knows, hopefully VC, he makes some plays.
Damn.
You know.
If only there was somebody on this show who said he had some Geno Smith in him.
Who?
Geno Smith in him.
Did you say Dwayne Haskins has some Geno Smith in him?
Yep.
It's not true, though.
I don't know, man.
Geno Smith ran a 4.5 and played in a high-volume completion offense like Derek Carr. Dwayne Haskins is an actual pocket passer who threw 50 touchdowns at Ohio State.
He's a statue.
No, he's not. He runs like a 4. He ran like a 4.8 or 4.9.
He's not doing that now.
No, it's just the O-line's bad. They won their game last week because this was going to be something I was going to touch on for Take or Tangent, but Darius Guice had 10 carries, 126 yards.
I just meant he throws a good ball, but he just can't put it all together.
No, he was connecting with Terry McLaughlin. That was the only person he was connecting with. They don't have a tight end. All their tight ends are hurt. Jordan Reed, I don't know how
he's still in. Their tight ends have been hurt for like 5 years.
I don't know how Jordan Reed's still in the NFL. I want him to just retire because I know he's had too many injuries. Like, the fact that he even transitioned from a quarterback to an H-back to a tight end to a dangerous tight end threat in the NFL, like, I'm happy for him, but too many injuries is mounting. Vernon Davis is just, like, man, that 4.3 speed took him a long way. He came out of college running a 4.6, it'd have been night-night years ago. He probably on a 4.6 right now. Consistent 4.6. Probably even a 4.5. But, like, it's good that somebody got signed from that workout. But it's who they went to. That's the thing. The Deadskins and Daniel Snyder. The problem is there are just certain teams and certain infrastructures are not conducive to success. The Cowboys are not conducive to success as an environment, how they're built. On the field, yeah, they should be, but they're not. Deadskins have a bunch of talented players. Ryan Kerrigan is missing his first game for, like, the first time in his career. He had, like, the third longest active streak. Missed a game last week. One of the best pass rushers in the history of that franchise. Been a star since he came into the league. Productive. And they're probably going to end up in the running to get Chase Young next in the draft come next year. And they just drafted Montez Sweat and move on from Kerrigan. Like, they're constantly just drafting really great talent and then doing nothing with it. And then the whole Trent Williams situation. Like, there are just certain teams in the league that are just not built to be successful. That's why I have to tip my cap to Jim Harbaugh. The fact that he stayed on so long And I was talking to Mike Hale. I was talking to Himes off the air.
The Seahawks, about, like, too. Look at how the Seahawks rebuilt.
Yeah, but I was talking about, I was talking to Himes off the air.
The Ravens, yeah. Like you just said. Yeah.
Like, and it's like, the Andy Reid coaching tree needs some Steelers. Respect on its name. Yeah.
The Colts.
Not really the Colts.
Why not the Colts? The Colts are 6-6 after losing a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Wait, did you just say Andrew Luck is a Hall of Fame quarterback?
He's a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback. I don't know if he'll actually... Hall he probably won't Jason? Get there, but... I was about to say. If he would have kept playing another 5 years, definitely.
Maybe.
No, 100% he would have got. He would have made it. Assuming he actually plays in his shoulder. And his shoulders are...
That's what I'm saying.
Concussion or...
We don't know.
Knees.
He's in the same boat as Eli Manning. And Eli Manning's giving him a Hall of Fame.
Eli's in. Eli's in just based
if
off
beating. You took name and cachet out and just put up stats.
But that's Hall of Fame. That's Hall of Fame. It's not Hall of Elite, Hall of Good. It's Hall of Fame.
So like, how come more
that
Raiders?
Is infamy.
How come
that
more,
is fame.
So
that
how come more like, Raiders aren't in then? How come Jim Plunkett's not in yet?
Because they're, that's it's not Hall of Infamy.
But fame's in the name.
It's not. Yeah, but fame isn't the same as infamy.
Okay, so do you think more Raiders should be in the Hall of Fame?
Of course.
Cliff Branch?
Of course.
Probably not.
All right, man, let's move on to the playoff picture.
I'm just planting a seed.
So, right now, the AFC breaks down to this. The Patriots are in.
The Ravens have the number one overall seed because New England lost to Deshaun Watson and the Texans. Shout out to the Texans, man.
The Chiefs are in.
You didn't even have to hit a button for that one.
And the AFC South is still pretty wide open.
And the Buffalo Bills are like 9-3.
But basically the Texans, the Titans, the Colts are all 1-2 games apart. And then, of course, you have the Bills in the other wild card.
They pretty much have the fifth seed locked up. They just have to not choke.
And the Raiders are like basically tied for the second spot out of the playoffs. So... Essentially, the Raiders play the Titans this week, so if the Raiders lose, they're done.
Shout out to Derrick Henry for, you know, the Titans. Shout out to the Titans for just saying, you know what we should do? Just give the ball to our really good running back, who you just have to give the ball to. And now he's, like, top five in the NFL in rushing, or close to it. By the way, Nick Chubb leads the league in rushing.
But so pretty much the first five spots are locked up. After that, it's the Steelers, the Titans, the Colts, and the Raiders all essentially playing for that final spot. The Titans and the Steelers are tied for it right now. So
Colts are done because Adam Vinatieri can't make field goals.
Well, they still have losses on their schedule because I think they still play the Texans.
Adam Vinatieri can't make field goals anymore. He's missed like 11 kicks this year.
Okay, I'm sorry. They play the Saints. They play the Saints, it's which open. Is a loss.
That's a loss.
And then they have the Panthers, Jaguars, and Buccaneers. Any three of those games could go either way, just depending on how they show up. And then the Titans have the Raiders, which, who knows, there could be a blowout, could not. They also have the Saints, and then they're the ones who have the Texans again. So they could easily get three losses, or they could go 2-1. And then the Steelers have the Cardinals, which is a win.
They have their
Bills,
fourth.
Which could be a loss. The Jets could go either way, depending on who shows up. And the Ravens. So they could have 2-3 losses, too. So essentially what I'm saying is the Raiders still have a shot. They just have to win out.
Do they, though?
They have a shot.
Can they stop the run?
I don't know. They probably won't do anything. I think that's the question I was going to ask.
Tennessee's receivers are nice, bro.
That's the question I was going to ask. Out of all those teams that are still in it for that final wild card spot, which one actually has a chance to make
the
noise?
Steelers control their own destiny as far as I'm concerned.
But I'm saying in terms of... Nah, because they still have the Ravens.
If the Steelers win out...
They have to beat the Ravens. They have to beat the Ravens.
Yeah, if they control their own destiny.
They have to beat the Ravens?
The Raiders can't beat the Steelers even if they played.
They have to beat they beat them last year. They have to beat the Ravens and the Bills. If they beat the Ravens and the Bills...
Think about this. The Bills are what? 9-3? So let's say they lose to the Patriots again. Let's say they end up 12-4 as a fifth seed. Hypothetically speaking, let's just say that happens. The Jets are terrible.
Well, the Bills have the Ravens.
The Dolphins are terrible.
The Bills could lose out, too, because the Bills still have The Ravens, the Bills
who
have the
tell me who the
Bills have the Ravens, the Steelers, the Pats, and the Jets. So they could lose out, honestly.
That's 11-5, best case scenario.
But even then, they would still be in. Even then, they would still be in.
The Jets.
Even if they lose two, they're still in.
Yeah, but if they beat the Steelers, that's a notch on the Steelers' belt.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm saying, because the Steelers are like they can't overcome the Bills for the fifth seat.
No, they can't.
Buffalo just loses
unless they beat the Bills. Unless they lose out.
But even then, Buffalo gets the 10 games somehow. Shocks the Patriots.
But what I'm saying is, out of all those teams still left between the Steelers, the Colts,
could
the Titans,
steal one. The Titans could just somehow.
I think they could
sneak into the playoffs.
I think they could too, just because they have a solid running game and they have a good defense.
Yeah, like that. That's the way I see it. It could straight up just come down to, okay, the Steelers are playing with house money because their defense is playing lights out. But
well, because nobody expected the Steelers to be anything, especially once
Big Ben went down.
Yeah, nobody expected them to be anything.
And the Minkah Fitzpatrick trade helped shape their defense for the next 10 years. Look who they have on the Steelers defense. They have stars at every level.
Finally. It only took them a decade.
Yeah.
Literally a decade. Literally like 8 years.
Minkah Fitzpatrick in the secondary, so the corners or whatever. Linebacker, you damn near have like three guys who are set in stone. I mean, Bud Dupree's whatever, but you have TJ Watt.
You really take any chance you can to take a shot at Bud Dupree? I really don't know why.
On God,
what did that man ever do to you?
Be a bust out of Kentucky. He broke
my heart.
He's
not a bust.
He's a bust.
He's not a bust.
How many sacks he got this year?
He was what, the 17th pick?
Something like that. How many sacks he got?
Pause. I don't even know.
Google Bud Dupree.
I'm already Googling like seven other things. You got your phone on your home screen. You Google it.
No, because if I tell you.
What the fuck am I, your producer?
Probably, yeah.
No, shut your ass up.
But anyway, no, Bud Dupree.
Do your own research.
Has never had 10 sacks
ESPN
in the season.
ESPN Stats and Info?
Bud Dupree's never had 10 sacks in the season. I think he came close one time and he maybe had like 8.5.
All right,
so it's like you have Devin Bush. I'm forgetting the other inside linebacker's name, but he's good too. And TJ Watt. Two stars right there.
Okay.
And their whole D-line is nice.
Cool. So I agreed with you like 7 points ago.
No, but I'm saying.
Yeah, the Steelers have a good defense.
That offense, like, I don't know. Like, Mason Rudolph is trash. This Duck dude is pretty much, it really could just be the Titans to steal. Because I don't think the Colts can't make field goals. So, it really comes down to the Titans again. And no one.
But if they lose to the Raiders this week, then all bets are off.
But the Raiders might just lose out, so then that just defeats them beating the Titans.
Nah, they can win.
Pete said they have a shot, though.
They have to win out. They have to beat the Chargers, the Broncos, and the Titans, and the Jaguars.
See, I don't trust.
So it is. Those are all
but
pretty
after
much.
Loki, like after that game that I saw by the Chiefs.
They got the
Chiefs?
Dog shit beat out of them 2 weeks in a row. Which we'll get to
what
later.
What was that, 49?
Yep. 40-9.
All right, man. So, in the NFC, it's a lot better picture. Ooh, like
some scary-ass teams.
You got the Seahawks,
Minnesota
49ers, battling it out for the NFC West crowned. So, pretty much two of those teams are going to get in. And then you got the Packers who are in. And they're only a game ahead of the Vikings. They're only two games ahead of the Bears, so that's still up for grabs. And then the Saints are locked in, 10-2. The South is sorry. Then you got the Cowboys and Eagles. Neither of them want to make the playoffs. They're just fighting to see who can not make it.
Which, by the way, I really think that they need to change the playoff format. I think if you win your division, but you don't have the fourth, like you don't have a better record than the two wild card teams, the highest wild card team. And she's going to be like,
okay.
You win
this
your division.
This is like a 30-year-old take.
Yeah, I'm mad about it.
I'm so all over this take.
Because it's stupid. The Cowboys should not
If anything, the NFL playoffs should be eight seeds. Why is it not eight seeds?
Because then it would
basketball is eight, and they have two less teams.
It would just become college football.
Actually, it would be better than college football because the eight best teams will play. College football doesn't even do that.
College football wouldn't have to adopt
that. I don't have to get to that point because college that point is tired.
But college football would have to adopt a larger playoff system if the NFL did.
Anyways.
So they're not going to do that. So, by the way, Bud Dupree actually has 8.5 sacks this year, which is a career high.
So essentially, the last wild card spot comes down to the Vikings, who are in it right now at 8-3.
8-4? Okay.
8-4. And then you got the Rams at 7-5, so they're a game out. And then you got the Bears at 7-6, or a game and a half out.
How are the Bears?
Because they won today. They beat the Cowboys.
I know, but it's like they're so bad on offense. Like, I feel like the Lions game as a win shouldn't even count.
The Lions aren't that bad. They're not as bad as their record indicates. Like, honestly, they're probably the best 3-8 team.
How many times have we both laughed in each other's faces when we said somebody's the best 3 at anything? The Raiders were the best 4-12 team of the decade. The Lions were the best 0-16 team ever.
You're not wrong about that one.
The Lions were the best 0-16 team ever. They fought their asses off in every game.
I don't know, man. I think that 1-15 Dolphins team could have beat them.
That one with Cleo Lemon? That 1-15 Dolphins team was a miracle, man. You fuck around and lose to them, and you just be mad. You're like, I want to restart my whole season.
So now, between the Vikings, the Bears, the Rams, what team actually has the most Super Bowl potential out of those three?
Still the Vikings. If you take out the Dalvin Cook shoulder injury early in that game and the fact that Kirk Cousins is just like the dollar store version of Tony Romo.
I feel bad for the Packers because honestly, the Packers are probably going to have to see either the
Vikings,
the Seahawks, or the 49ers.
Yeah, they're
going to
see all the toughest teams.
They're going to see one of those teams in the first round and get their ass bounced.
No, I mean, the Packers, Aaron Rodgers just needs to trust the run game.
But I don't even think they want to see the Vikings in the first round of the wild card.
Of course
you don't want to see your rival for the third time.
It's like you two are going to beat the shit out of each other. You're going to be exhausted for the next game.
Like, there's no winner of that game. There's no winner of that game.
It's just you're going to get fed to the Saints.
Yeah, like whoever goes there is going to get ran out the dome.
You're getting fed to the Saints.
You're going
to
get ran out the Superdome. Like,
and if you don't get ran out by the Saints, you're getting run out by Seattle,
or 49ers, yeah.
Nah, I think San Francisco.
For all the white tech bros,
San Francisco does not.
You get a tech bro home game.
I don't think San Francisco wants to see the Packers twice.
Nah.
And you don't want to see Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs. You don't want to see that man angry. But I think the Rams, honestly, are just going to miss the playoffs. I don't see them making it.
All right, man. So now
I see Minnesota choking that hard.
We got to get to the college football news.
Oh, God.
A lot of stuff happening there, obviously.
Ooh.
Championship week, championship games, Pac-12 championship.
Big 12 championship, American Conference championship, even though technically.
What championship game are you most likely to actually sit down and watch and, like, look forward to?
Damn, because the ACC one looks really good. With Clemson and Virginia, Virginia's ranked. They beat Virginia Tech for the first time in, like, 10 years. Some crazy. I didn't hear what he said.
I didn't hear what he said either.
I just knew it was funny. I just looked in the direction like, oh, okay. But yeah, shout out to Bryce Perkins, ASU transfer, and now one of the best Virginia quarterbacks since probably Matt Schaub. But this dude runs for like 1,000 yards a season. But yeah, so, and Bronco Mendenhall, former BYU coach, is. He's turned around Virginia football, and they're 9-3, and they're going to play third-ranked Clemson and get their shit kicked in because Clemson is, like, on all cylinders and mad at everybody.
Has Virginia been relevant since Chris Long?
Yeah, a couple times. You haven't been paying attention. It's fine. You don't care. You only cared when, like, Dwayne Brown went there when he played guard and tackle. But, by the way, I think it's Bryce Hall.
You thought Dwayne Brown was going to be a bust.
I did, because I didn't know what they were going to play him. I thought they were going to play him at guard.
You think 90% of O-linemen in the first round are going to be bust?
Nah, it depends on the school. Tell me what school, and I'll tell you if they're a bust
Iowa.
Or not. I would not take...
50-50.
I'm never taking, like...
50-50, Iowa's 50-50.
Nah, it's like 60-40.
60-40.
If they're a tackle who's really good, you might have to bump him down to guard, and then you'll be satisfied. Like,
all right, man, we got 20 minutes, so you got a lot of shit to talk about.
Yeah, this will be pretty easy to do. So Auburn beat Nick Saban's ass in the Iron Bowl.
Knocked him out of the playoffs.
Really, that might be the greatest rivalry game, honestly, because it's usually either for a national title implication or just good old-fashioned
hatred. That's a hot take.
Just Southern hatred. No, like, I really mean that. It's from the, by the way, shout out to the SEC not playing defense and Alabama's so-called vaunted defense and Nick Saban giving up 48 points and running back shivers for Auburn. Destroyed the safety McKinney for Alabama when he ran him over in that fly sweep to the end zone. It was violent and it was beautiful, and I loved it. Even though they didn't score for like the next 8 minutes of the game, and Alabama missed their kicker, missed another field goal. Oxygen is oxygen, water's wet. Yeah, shout out to Gus Malzahn. Shout out to Gus Malzahn for pulling that off. And Auburn isn't getting the Florida treatment where just because Florida lost to all the good teams and they beat everybody else, that they still put Florida like near the top 10, which is total bullshit. Auburn managed to knock Alabama from 5 to 12 in the playoff rankings. Yeah, so now pretty much all Utah has to do is just beat Oregon and they should be in, and Georgia just has to lose to LSU. And via proxy, if once LSU beats Georgia, hopefully, Georgia has to be out of the playoffs. And I really think the AP poll, whoever's deciding this, they do not want to see Ohio State and LSU. And they don't want to see Ohio State and Clemson play each other. Because I think Clemson really is the rightful. They could be the best team in the country on the field. Now, I would pick Ohio State or LSU, but I really think people don't want smoke with Clemson. Like, they beat South Carolina.
You're talking about as a team versus talent.
Versus on the field compared to, like, dominance throughout the season. Like, Ohio State's won by an average of, like, 50 to 12. Shit is insane. Like, and LSU is just the best team in the country as far as I'm concerned. Because of Joe Burrow and what they do. That offense.
Roll Tide, fuck you.
What did you just say to me?
Oh, fuck. Shout out to Coach O.
I'm about to say who. Oh, yeah. I was like, what did you just say to me? We're going to fight right now. But no. Yeah, LSU safe. They just have to win. I'm looking forward to the Mountain West title game. Because Boise State. Boise State, Hawaii. They beat Hawaii 59-37. But here's the thing. Shout out to Hawaii for coming back. Shout out to our boy, Ryan, all the way in Hawaii. He's been holding down Hawaii football all season, whole life. Shout out to him. But, because the first time since, like, they were in the WAC, Boise State finished the regular season undefeated in the Mountain West. They've never been 8-0 in the Mountain West. They had better teams than this, but they're really good. They're going through. They're using three quarterbacks. The senior Jalen Henderson went to like Texas El Paso, went to a JUCO, came to Boise State, played really good the last three games. They managed to secure a win against Colorado State, so they're 11-1. And honestly, I think they're the best non-Power Five team because
aren't Cincinnati, they usually?
Yeah, they're. I think they already beat Memphis, but the thing is, Memphis and Cincinnati played to end the regular season in the American Alliance Conference. Memphis beat Cincinnati, but then those two replay each other in the American Alliance Championship game again. So they're both like ranked 18th and 19th, but I think in the playoff system, Memphis is ranked like 17th. But BYU, no, not BYU, Boise State essentially just has to beat Hawaii. They finished 9-0 in their conference play and be 12-1 with the possibility of getting a New Year's Bowl game. Which I think they deserve over Memphis and Cincinnati because I think they're better than both those teams. But the thing is, if Cincinnati beats Memphis, then it's a tie.
I like how you're using all your time to talk about the Mountain West and Boise State.
You asked me, and I'm telling you. That's going to be the most complicated one because whatever non-Power 5 team gets in, it's going to be a big-ass debate. Well, Boise State should have got it because they lost to BYU on a fluke, but they beat everybody else. So there's that. And you could just say, well, Cincinnati and Memphis played each other and they're in the same conference. And do you count the first win or do you count the second win? It's the same thing with the Big 12, which is bullshit, by the way, because ACC has 14 teams, I think. I'm pretty sure they have 14 teams. The Big 12 has the Big 12 championship game, but they only have 10 teams in the Big 12. And Baylor already...
And doesn't the Big 10 have 12?
Yeah, and Baylor already...
That shit is so confusing every time.
It's stupid as hell. Baylor already beat... No, they already lost to Oklahoma because they pulled a 28-3 and lost. But here's the thing. Oklahoma could beat Baylor, which is like, I think ranked 8th or some shit. They're ranked pretty high up. Or no, I think they're ranked like 11th. I don't know, whatever. Pretty much Oklahoma's ranked like 9th. So Oklahoma beats Baylor again to be the Big 12 championship. How do you count that as like impressive? Because you beat the same team twice, but there's only 10 teams in your division, so you had to play them twice. That's stupid. Like, I would only count the first win for Baylor. I would only count the first win for Oklahoma if they beat them again. But if Baylor beats Oklahoma, now you're going to leapfrog Baylor over Utah or over whoever is in that 4 or 5 spot? That makes no sense.
I don't think Baylor gets in.
But does Oklahoma get in if they beat Baylor? Because Baylor's a really highly ranked team.
Not over Utah.
But that's the thing. That's the whole... Because everybody's saying certain fan bases don't travel. Oklahoma might get the vote. Jalen Hurts is already a Heisman candidate for what he's done with Oklahoma, but their defense is bad. It's a lot of complicated
shit. My take on this whole issue has always been, honestly, between Oklahoma and Utah, like, which team is really going to make any noise versus OSU? But that's what I'm saying. I would rather see them two play each other to get in, either in the eighth seed or either in a playing game, than see either one of those teams play versus Ohio State or Clemson.
I think all the conference champions should play each other with one play-in, which would be 7 teams, I think.
Sure. Go
but
for it.
They're stupid.
All right, but man. Anyway, so get to the fire coaches.
I'm finishing it. And the last one, shit. I'll just go with this. Utah just has to beat Oregon and win the Pac-12 because they're ranked 5th. And Oregon's ranked, I think, like 10th. They're ranked high back again after their loss. But anyway, coaches who stepped down. Chris Peterson, Washington head coach, after going 7-5, pretty much stepped down as Washington's head coach and their defensive coordinator. Renowned recruiter and developer of defensive backs, Jimmy Lake, who apparently was on the staff at Boise State, which is crazy, who's a secondary coach and defensive coordinator. Now he's the new head coach at Washington, which is kind of perfect because they're not going to really lose a lot of the top flight recruits they got, two of which in the South Bay, Mikel Esteen and Elijah Jackson, both with Lawndale. Shout out to Lawndale. So Chris Peterson pretty much just burnt out from coaching. One of the highest winning percentages in college football history. It's like 79%. Got to 100 wins faster than
would he be on USC's radar?
He should be, and he was going to be. They had him in the running when he left Boise State. It was either Washington or Boise State, but his personality fit Washington. I think he should have went to USC. Probably would have had a national title.
That makes sense.
One of the greatest coaches to never won a national title.
It's a totally different,
because he should have got one at
lifestyle.
Yeah, he should have got one at Boise. But the kicker missed it, and then they got screwed when fucking Boise State and TCU played each other, and they were ranked like 4 and 3 or 3 and 5 in the country that one year, and they played in the Fiesta Bowl, which was like, okay, they beat each other, but you got by not having these two teams play like a Power 5 conference champion. So, yeah, Jimmy Lake promoted head coach, and the Pac-12 was like the most progressive conference. They have like 5 black head coaches. Most of the black head coaches in college football are on the Pac-12.
Unfortunately, they also have a mediocre one named Clay Helton, who's still coaching.
He's not black, though. Kevin Sumlin, also Arizona, they were like 4-8, but he's coming back for year 3, even though they totally wasted
Clay. But yeah, I'm just saying, Clay Helton's mediocre, and I still don't know why he has a job.
I'm getting to that.
Because he's a good dude?
I'm going to combine it with Utah.
Because he's a good dude.
I'm going to combine it with the Utah thing. Don't
see?
Worry.
Nice guys don't always finish last. Sometimes they get enabled for like 7 seasons.
Become sycophants, but whatever. You know, he's like, the kids respect him, but it's like a Larry Coker situation. But I'll get to that later. Fired coaches, Ole Miss, Matt Luke. Like their star running back and star defensive player stormed out of a meeting with the officials when they found
out. Didn't they just hire him recently? Like
Matt
a year
Luke,
or two
yeah.
ago?
He only had 2 years coaching there.
Yeah.
He was 6-6 his first year. They lost the Egg Bowl because their stupid-ass receiver decided to do a dog motion and lift his hind leg up and piss and got penalized, and they missed the extra point and lost 21-20, Mississippi State. Mike Bobo, Colorado State head coach, got fired. Boston College head coach Steve Adazio got fired. They won their last game of the year to get bowl eligible, but they haven't really won more than 7 games since he's been there, and he pretty much won with other people's talent. And there's a former Boston College linebacker slash former Atlanta Falcon who pretty much said, like, they blackballed him from going to games and tried to, like, speak bad on him. It's a whole story. He tweeted it out. You should check that out. But, yeah, Steve Adazio, fired. Chris Ash, Rutgers head coach, fired. Barry Odom, Missouri head coach, fired. They're bowl eligible, too, but, you know, it is what it is. Shout out to Kentucky and Lee Bowden, senior, junior, the wide receiver turned quarterback. He's probably going to win, like, the all-purpose Heisman this year. He should. He's one of the reasons, like, they ran, like, 300 yards rushing on Mizzou's defense. Like, Mizzou's defense was bad. And Missouri, because of, that's probably why he got fired, Odom, because they really didn't do much. But anyway, yeah, Clay Helton's being retained. There was an initial report by Adam Mayo, Sports Illustrated, who said that he's
been
fired.
Which was fucking weird because it sat for 11 days. It so sat- for 11 days, they were probably seeing who was out there. And essentially, the president comes out and is like, well, the alumni and the students were kind of 50-50 on whether or not we should fire him and, like, the board and, like, but it's like, bruh, you're the decision maker. The decision starts and stops with you. Like, why are you taking other people's attention? Like, what does Parcells always say? You start listening to fans, you become one.
Yeah, and, like, the donors were, like, threatening to pull their money out and former USC players. Like, Tony Burnett, he was talking about it. He's like, y'all got to support them kids even if you don't support the coach. But, yeah.
That's fair. That's a good take.
So, yeah, they're keeping him despite the fact that he has all this five-star talent. And, like, at best, he won, like, 8 games this year. Like, that's just a happy norm. Like, oh, we get to 9 wins or 10 wins.
Unless you begin that to, sounds a lot like a UCLA season, I'm just saying.
That's the best-case scenario for UCLA
exactly.
season.
And that's not acceptable for the Legion of Troy.
Yep. Goddamn right,
so
it is.
Something needs to be done, but
yeah,
that's all I got
to
say.
Shout out to the great people at USC and their fantastic friendly tailgaters, though. Shout out to them.
All right,
but
man.
Anyway, Greg Schiano back at Rutgers, 8-year deal. 8 years, $32 million. They still wanted it fully guaranteed, but the administration and everybody was fighting because they were trying to figure out if they wanted his contract to be fully guaranteed, and it was a whole shit show. And, yeah, shout out to Paul Feinbaum for being a total asshole, saying that the country doesn't want to see Utah play in a playoff game, even though their fans travel really well, and they did get blown out by USC this year, but they've been utterly dominant pretty much since then.
See, this is why I get upset at you.
What?
That would have been a perfect thing for Take or Tangent.
Ooh. Somebody deleted it because I had it written down.
Yeah, because I was going to use it for Take or Tangy, which you admitted off the rundown.
I mean, yeah, I did. But I added 4 things, so shut up.
They're all trash. The 4 things you added were all trash. They're not Take or Tangy.
No, the one about Derek Carr is really good. You just don't want to shit on Derek Carr anymore.
No, you don't understand. I don't think you understand the games.
Derek Carr is literally... Okay, fine. I'll give you one. Derek Carr is winless in Kansas City for his career. Take it.
God damn. How long have we been doing this show?
A while. I might have CTE. I don't know.
Yeah, clearly. Okay, so now the drop is played, so go ahead.
Asshole.
Continue.
You're such an asshole. Derek Carr has never won a game in Kansas City in his career. I think Jamarcus Russell won 2 games in Kansas City. Derek Carr just can't win in Kansas City for his career. And he's just not getting better as a quarterback. Which, do you have a take or a tangent?
My take on it has been for about a year and for about 15 months is we've been witnessing the end of the Derek Carr era. And I think the final rising action to that was the past 2 weeks where they've been getting the dog shit beaten out of him. And pretty much Carr went and talked to Vic Jaffer and essentially said, like, it's just been 2 bad weeks. Like, we as a team has had 2 bad weeks, which is fine. Not everything is on him, but at the end of the day, you're supposed to be the face of the franchise. You're supposed to be the X factor, and the fact that you, one, are not that just because you're playing a game manager style, but two, even if you weren't, even if you were playing at the caliber that you were during the three-game winning streak, it's still not enough to beat Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. So anything else outside of that is no, because if you can't win in the AFC West, if you can't beat the Chiefs, if you can't beat Andy Reid, you can't beat Pat Mahomes, then what the fuck are we doing?
Period. And my take simply is this. Last time I checked, Josh Jacobs had 17 carries for 104 yards against the Chiefs. So he didn't have a bad game. But you did, Derek Carr. Every time you play the Chiefs, you have a bad game, Derek Carr. So, yeah, this one's on you, Derek Carr. And somebody said he's going to go in to be a preacher. Shout out to Full Press Coverage, the Raider group chat. It's just, I love you guys. I love the pettiness.
All right, so... Pat Mahomes is on, I mean, Lamar Jackson is on pace to break Michael Vick's rushing record for quarterbacks.
Obliterated by like 300 yards.
You got to take our tangent on that. He said it would be an honor to break Mike Vick's record.
He's only like 75 yards or so away because he already has like 978 or 977, something like that. But yeah, it's going to be great to see him. He'll probably get it. He'll probably break it like by 30 yards. Get 1,100 yards, that'd be dope. It'll probably have like 10 touchdowns rushing too. Like, that's the crazy part. Like, this dude's leading the league in passing touchdowns, is getting better at his completion percentage, and is now going to be like the greatest all-time single-season rusher for a quarterback ever. So it's dope to see what he's doing.
All right, my next one is... So, over the past week, the NFLPA, it's been reported that they're close to negotiating a new CBA to stop a work stoppage. But the NFLPA president, Eric Winston, said, listen, and I quote, "We've been talking for a long time. I still think at some point we're going to have to get over some of the big issues, a.k.a. the 17-18 game season, and we're just not there yet. It is what it is. Things come in fits and spits, and something happens. But I haven't seen that. I haven't seen evidence of that." So essentially he's saying, pump the brakes.
Nothing's changed since we talked about this last time. Like, nothing's changed.
Pretty much. So,
yeah, I don't have
you got to take a tangent?
I don't have either. Same thing I said last time. I don't care until some new developments happen. Until some actual, like, you know, legislature or something actually passes. Something becomes solid. There's just nothing. It's just talking and posturing at this point.
I mean, that's pretty much what negotiating is, but yeah.
So there's no new development, so I don't really care. I got one.
Go for it.
Pete Carroll is a Coach of the Year candidate, like the top candidate.
Take that for down.
That's all I have to say. What do I need to add to that?
Is he?
Yeah, duh.
Not over Harbaugh?
Oh, I thought you were saying
Coach
he
of
is.
The Year candidate.
He is.
I'm saying, is he? Like, no, he's the guy. He should win it.
It's him or Tomlin?
Damn, that's Harbaugh? It for me. Harbaugh doesn't even get any recognition?
It's him or Tomlin.
Damn.
Based off what they've done, like when everybody was overlooking them, everyone was saying this is going to be a down year for both of those teams.
Baltimore lost their best two pass rushers. And no, they lost three. They lost Terrell Suggs and two other guys.
Yeah, but they were a playoff team last year.
Yeah, no one knew what to expect from Lamar Jackson, and they got rid of Joe Flacco. No one knew what to expect from
the
Lamar
Steelers
Jackson.
Lost three of their best players.
Yeah, fair
arguably
enough.
Three of the best players, like three top five players at their position.
That's fair.
All right, man. Real quick, we got a touchdown and turnover before we get out of here. And Serve gets to her extended rant. She's brewing on. I can already see it on her.
Don't say brewing on this podcast again.
Why?
Yeah, what? What's wrong with
brewing? Because the brewing sucked.
I said brewing.
It was a play on words. I was joking.
Yeah.
It was whatever. Tongue in cheek.
Whatever. I've also been working over here.
Freudian slip.
Ooh, she out here working. What? Yeah.
For Serve working?
Do you yeah.
Okay, I see.
Check your Twitter. Check your Instagram.
I will. I shall.
All right, man. So Tom Brady's free agency after this year. He signed a new deal in 2017 after they won a Super Bowl. It was a team-friendly deal. He took a discount. Right now, he's like somewhere in the middle of the pack, below like $10 million below Jared Goff. So he's set for a nice payday. They're saying he wants a steady raise off what he's making, additional $3 million, which is pretty fair. But reports are saying the Pats are probably not going to give him that just because they didn't give it to him 2 years ago. So it could be Tom Brady's last season as a Patriot. Is that a touchdown or a turnover for the Patriots?
That's a touchdown because this is a court. The next 2 years are very quarterback friendly drafts, and I wouldn't touchdown! Be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if they made a trade to get, like, maybe even a Derek Carr. Or, nah, not Derek Carr. But, like, a trade to get a quarterback, because shout out to Jacksonville realizing that Nick Foles ain't the guy. Benched him for Gardner Minshew. Ouch. And you paid him all that money. But anyway, they could easily get, like, a good prospect in this draft. Somebody who might slip and fall. You never know.
Fun stat. Josh Gordon is 11-0 between his games at the Pats and the Steelers.
Josh Gordon never played for the Steelers.
I mean, between the Pats and the Seahawks. Versus Kenyon Drake is 0-10 between the Dolphins and the Cardinals.
That's not even fair, though. That's not even a fair stat.
That's what I was going to ask you. So is that a touchdown or a turnover to compare win and loss?
That's a tie.
From a tie? We got a tie?
Replay the down. It's a dead ball foul. Replay the down. It's not fair. Just advance the ball 10 yards. Give him a chance.
And on that
again,
note,
I think you like recorded me snoring or blacked out.
Every time you hear this, you're
like, this was me and I need to get residuals for it.
But on that note,
who wants
to volunteer to go first for the rants?
Could you stop playing this fucking sound effect? It doesn't help.
All right, I'll go first then.
I was going to go first.
I could. It's not. My
I was
going
to go just
like
to get out the way.
Super long. I just want extended time. I don't want.
That's why I was going to go to just get out the way.
Yeah. Okay, go, Kenny.
All right, cool. Yeah, shout out to my my little sister, 22 years old. Happy birthday, Chelsea. Fun day hanging out with you, my mom. Man. Shout out to Red Robins for always giving people free birthday burgers. And they're really good margaritas. My little sister ordered a drink. I just looked at her like, oh, you little Alky. Aw, how cute. But nah. Yeah, man. I remember like when my sister was, before my sister was even born, me and my older sister would just rub my mom's stomach and like talk to her stomach and be like, oh, we can't wait till you get here. Remember I saw the sonogram. I remember when my mom kept, I would, like, stay up late every time my mom would have, like, false labor pains. I'd have to go to the hospital and come back. I always make sure I was super helpful. My mom said, like, when my little sister was born, like, it changed me. Like, I wasn't really selfish as a kid like that, but, like, I became, like, a super protector, like, instantly when my little sister was born. And, like, the fact that I've seen her grow and develop into the woman she is, like, I'm just really proud of that. Really proud of the work she's putting in and she's passionate about what she does. You know, I can't knock it. She's trying to find her way in life. And I think with our younger siblings, we really got to remember, like, you can give them game to avoid things that are happening at that age because you see things in them when you were that age, but you can't protect them from it. All you can do is just be there and just be a voice in their head and be like a memorable conversation and hope that they'll use, you know, some of the game or logic that you've given them to keep going. Shout out to my little sister. Stand up. Beautiful spirit. Like, she doesn't, like, all the Barry kids have a temper. Particular me. But, like, her, she's, like, just sunshine and, like, bubbles and shit. So if you get her mad, if she does something to you, you deserved it. And I'm probably come see you. But yeah, shout out to my little sister. Cheers to her. She really said I'm old as fuck because she pulled out the big ass gray hair I have in my head. And I was like, damn, you have to do me like that. That was so rude. But yeah, I'm going to be 28 next year. She's 22. And she kept on with my face how old I am. So yeah, I feel old.
You want me to go next or you want to? You want to close
matter.
Out?
It doesn't matter.
Let her go last.
All right, fine. We can go last. All right, man. So, one thing I didn't get to during the show that I wanted to get to was Teddy Bridgewater, backup QB for the New Orleans Saints, went on a bit of a rant on Twitter. He said, and I'm reading it, "The role models in our neighborhood didn't play ball, but they made the same kind of money ball players were making. My role model growing up didn't have a degree from a university. The first degree I got was from the streets, and I majored in surviving Liberty City and Upalaka." I don't know what that means.
Florida, it's a part of Florida.
"Okay. "Oftentimes, our character is judged based on the environment we grew up in, but what's often overlooked are all the right decisions you had to make to escape that environment. That same environment taught me how to have heart to go along with survival skills. Everyone has a story. The way the story plays out is all up to you. Keep the ink gliding across the pad as the story continues." So, yeah, man, I just really... That's something that just really resonated with me, just because, you know, we really live in like a hyper clout, everyone trying to be cool and popular, but you really don't see everything that goes behind the scenes. You don't really see what has made someone the way they are. And for, you know, Bridgewater, a prominent athlete, to just say like, you know, this is what I'm come from, and to understand like the reason why I was able to come back from such a catastrophic leg injury, the reason why I'm able to go into a game and play an offense that isn't even tailored to me and win six games in a row, is because I already come from such adverse situation. Like, I'm not even supposed to be here. And the fact that I'm here and the fact that I continue to be here is really a credit, not just to me, but a credit to all the people around me who both helped me and who both taught me what not to do. So, shout out to Bridgewater for that. And also, man, shout out to George Atkinson III. Rest in peace. Shout out to the Atkinson family. Second son lost in 2 years, which is crazy because Atkinson really just penned a whole piece about, you know, dealing with his own anxiety and depression and mental illness. And then a few days later, you know, he's dead. And also, man, shout out to Terrell Pryor. He got stabbed. He lost 3.5 liters of blood. He was minutes away from dying from what looks like a domestic violence situation. He was charged with I forgot the term, not petty assault, but simple assault or something like that. He was charged with assault.
His girlfriend was charged with pretty much like homicide.
Yeah, and his girlfriend was charged with attempted homicide. She's the one who stabbed him. But yeah, man, shout out to Terrell Pryor.
Rest in peace, Terry Glenn Jr.'s son. He died.
Yeah, I was also gonna say that. But yeah, man, and just on that note, it's like, life is short. That's why you have to enjoy, you have to enjoy all the moments you can. Like, you have to enjoy the fact that you're here. You have to enjoy the people, random strangers that smile at you. You have to enjoy the opportunities you have, the opportunities you're presented with. Like, just have to do the best that you can. Like, that's all that I ever asked for. That's all that I ever want to be, is just the best that I can be. So, yeah, that's it.
So, it's very ironic that we didn't know what we were going to rant about, and yet somehow we're all, like, talking about the same thing.
It's usually kind of how it happens.
Yeah, so my thing is about role models and being, like you were saying, like, being that age, and being able to have that opportunity to, you know, if you're there to be that voice and help others when they were that age and they were in confusion, and you know, this week has been really rough for me, and not just for me, but a really close friend of mine that's here. She's been really solid in the back. Hi, Kristen. Say hi to everybody. So I've been knowing her since she was 16. Just briefly, she's, you know, part of the foster system. So I've been honored and trusted to be a mentor of hers. She trusts me, and she gravitated towards me. So since then, we've just been really cool. But we've just been dealing with a shitty situation. And you just think that, you know, the government says, and I'm holding Department of Family Services accountable right now. This is very, I have a bone to dig right now. This is like making my blood boil right now. But it is time to take, I mean, to hold those people accountable, because it is ridiculous to see how much opportunities and how much ample resources and money that these people are getting funded, and yet they are letting these children and young adults down. And that's what they're supposed to be there, is help them, you know, seek role models and help them seek those resources. And I was able to see firsthand how it really is. And usually they don't believe us, and they say, oh, we waste our tax dollars, and we always have these fiscal reasons why we shouldn't fund, you know, these education programs and, you know, foster youth and the government and social services, and the list can go on. But today, I just wanted to say, those caseworkers, those people specifically that I've been dealing with this week, even though you may not be hearing me right now, y'all just mess with the wrong person. Like, all I wanted to do was to help my friend and make sure that she gets the needs that she deserves. But instead, you showed me how you don't care about the people you're working for. So how in the flying fuck, excuse my language, but how in the flying fuck are you working as a caseworker when you don't give a shit about anybody? That is just fucked up. And the system and her supervisors and everybody else knows what's going on and should be held accountable. And I mean it's a little call out to the people. If you guys know anything more about, you know, helping youth, you know, children and young adults getting the resources that they need to get on their feet, at me on Instagram at SwerveServe, though. You know where to find me. And yeah, and just in general in life, people, hold people accountable for the things that they do to you when it's wrong, period. Like, right now we're at a time and people think like, oh, you know, we need to just stop, you know, picking over things, we're being too sensitive. Nah, we have the voice, we have the access, we have social media, we have the technology to voice our opinions, and we're going to call people out. And today, that bitch didn't know who the fuck she was fucking with, and now she done fucking added fuel to a fire that she didn't know that was going to fucking spread in her ass. And I'm going to make sure she's reprimanded and everybody else around her can know what the fuck they did was wrong. Mic drop. Sorry, y'all.
You're good.
That's what I've been dealing with. It's been a long week, but I will prevail.
How'd you get that? That's the heart.
But yeah, man.
I'm school people who run across the system, and it's at every level. You never know who you might run into who has that background. So yeah, just rooting for you.
But yeah, man. On that note, on a lighter note, just want to say, I'm proud of us. We strung together a tailgate event. Kenny and I have been trying to do that for like 2 years now. So that came together. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't,
the timing was perfect.
But
the USC game.
And everybody had fun, and that's what matters. And
people came out, we had a lots good time. Of ring pops.
I definitely feel like we should do
definitely
more.
Definitely gave it a lot of ring pops. But yeah, man, shout out to
don't look at us like that.
FPC Radio.
I have that ring pop in my house.
Honestly, I think I'm the only person who didn't get a ring pop, and I'm kind of upset.
People came
by
for ring pops.
Can we do another tailgate?
Soon. Yeah, when season's
Super Bowl
back again.
Season's back, so we ain't gonna do another one no time soon.
Yeah, it's a college football tailgate. We could do, you know.
We still got Super Bowl.
The season's
we
over.
Still got
tailgate?
Well,
Vegas
not even
bowl?
For college. We could do for regular season.
Nah,
the Las Vegas Bowl.
You about to drop 150 on a parking pass?
A Pac-12?
It doesn't even have to be an official tailgate. It doesn't have to be at the location.
You mean a cookout?
Cookout, yeah.
Yeah, for sure, definitely. I'm down for that.
I mean, yeah. Shout out to Jack Jones, former USC cornerback, former high school All-American, 5-star corner, had 2 picks in the Territorial Cup game. ASU beat Arizona. He had 2 interceptions, and really happy for that dude. Long Beach Poly product. They had a gang of Long Beach Poly guys on that Arizona State team, and he didn't play football for 2 years, had the incident at USC, got his life back on track, and really happy for the redshirt junior. So kudos to him. Always been a fan.
But yeah, man, shout out to your favorite podcast app where you can find this. Shout out to the Good News Radio Station. Shout out to FPC Radio. Shout out to A Squad Affiliates. Shout out to Ladies Night. Shout out to Courtside. Philip Brown was in the house for a little bit. Shout out to him.
Shout out to Himes.
Hope y'all got a jump.
God bless.
Why does it take so long?
Because it's supposed to be the intro. That's why.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.